The scripture reading this morning will come from Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and said to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren."
Certainly appreciate the presence of the great number of visitors we have. We hope you have already had a chance to be greeted and met many of our members here. We hope you can come back with us. I know many of you are traveling, as of several of our members are as well, and we're glad you found your way with us. Yesterday and Friday, I had the opportunity to be at the East Columbus Church in Columbus, Mississippi, and they had a youth forum, and I was able to be there with Jonathan Purs, and we had wonderful Friday sessions, all-day sessions on Saturday that went wonderfully, called Contending for the Faith. The outlines and the audio eventually will be up on our website as well as the East Columbus website. Looks like we're going to have a really rainy day today. And they talked to see whether we've got flash flood warnings. And then I found out that Ryan is going to preach on Noah tonight. And so I tell you what, you got the perfect setup for that sermon. Might make you think a little bit about that occasion. I want to talk to you this morning about a religious group of people that are well known in the New Testament. And that is the Pharisees. The Pharisees, no one wants to be a Pharisee, and I think they're for legitimately so. We see warnings about the Pharisees, as Jesus we just had read in your hearing from Matthew 23. And in some ways, I want to take this lesson and maybe even make this as an extension of some of the studies that I've done on making faith your own. You know, as a young person, they're trying to make faith their own. You've seen hypocrisy, haven't you? You've seen inconsistency, and sometimes in your parents, of us as parents that love you, there are some things we may not get right, and there may be attitudes that we should not display. And I want to tell you that we do not need to raise a generation of Pharisees. But I also want to warn you, the Pharisees have been used as a tool in a direction to, frankly, end up creating the same thing as the Pharisees. What I'm talking about is deception. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things. I've titled my lesson, Hiding Behind the Pharisees. And I'm going to talk about how people have used the Pharisees as an intimidation tool to really hide attitudes that were just like the Pharisees. So let's talk about this. I do want us biblically to understand, as we've had in our songs and in our prayer, the fruit of the Spirit. Fighting the works of the flesh, having the kind of heart that is pleasing to God. That is the essence of this lesson, if I can do the job I hope we can do today in our study and our coming together. Those who have found Christ as a result of struggle. And one of the things, particularly as you're making faith your own, and even as you've been experienced in the faith, Satan is excellent at deception. In Colossians 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Now notice verse 8. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Every Christian, every church, every eldership, every parent that is Christians wants to root and ground their children in the Word of God. And what we're going to find here as we look at the Pharisees, we're going to look at a group of people that would really be very typical in the religious world. We're going to talk about a group of people who had religious rules, and some of the rules were wonderful. We're talking about, when you talk about the Pharisees from a first century standpoint, did you know they were very popular? The Pharisees were kind of like the, I don't know if I can make the exact parallel, but kind of like the popularity of the TV evangelist of the day, man. They were for Israel. They wanted to be separated from Rome. They stood for morality. Man, they had some hard-hitting sermons. And there were some good things about the Pharisees in terms of they did at times accurately teach the law of God. These weren't just crazy people out there trying to, you know, just torch everybody, and they wouldn't have had the popularity and the position if they were like that. But one of the things that you're going to find with the Pharisees is that God was left out of their mental process. They had developed a knowledge, but a knowledge of which their heart was no longer tender, a knowledge, as we've seen here in Colossians 2, we need to have a knowledge that's rooted and grounded in Christ. And when you get separated from God and you no longer are humble before God, you can create all kinds of justification for things you ought not to be doing. I know I'm jumping ahead in my introduction about Pharisees, but you know how to know whether or not someone's a Pharisee? Look at how they think and treat other people. And we'll show that in the course of our study. You know, there are some people that in the religious world, they look at division and they say, you know how we need to end division? We need to stop really talking about thou shalls and thou shalt nots. We don't need to discern truth and error. Now, I want to tell you something. That does eliminate division. That's not how you do it. And there are some people that will say, well, you know, the Pharisees, the reason why they were so bad is they were real strict. You missed the point if that's what you think. Let's go into scriptures this morning. Let's talk about what is a Pharisee, and more importantly, how does one serve God acceptably? Let's talk about Pharisees. First off, Matthew 23, we've already read in your hearing the first few verses. The Pharisees were one who, they were very interested in what others saw. You see, you can play religion and play church. You don't have to be a religious preacher or an elder or a song leader or a Bible class teacher. You don't have to be one that's always before people to be like a Pharisee. All you have to do is always worried about what others see. And the thing you want most of all is to be praised. And so earlier in our reading, we read about how they like to have the broad phylacteries and they like to be seen in the chief places and they like people to tell them, look at brother so-and-so, how pious he is, how godly he is. Do you know how the Pharisees did their benevolence? If you had seen the Pharisees in the first century, they would have had the PR show out that we care for the needy. And we're not like these other people that don't care for the needy. We care for the needy. Be careful. You sometimes I hear my brethren going down that path. They start using the needy as a way for self-exaltation. In Matthew 23, listen to some of the statements Jesus made about the Pharisees. And this ought to scare us to death. You ought to be frightened about this. You can let religious knowledge separate you from God. You can end up with a hard heart. And you and I don't want to go down this path, and we can. In verse 13 of Matthew 23, Jesus says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. By the way, have you noticed here, scribes are included too? We could include the Sadducees as well. Pharisees are the ones that the most typified it, but notice there's other groups here. So, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, listen to this chilling statement here. When he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Woo! Man, does that happen today? Yes, it does. Is it a danger for us, you and I, as Christians, to go down the path of being a Pharisee? Absolutely we can. How do we prevent doing that? Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about some of the elements that are created here that end up causing somebody to be a child of hell. But let me go back one other thing. Let's just take a step backwards. Should you use the word Pharisee lightly? And you know, let me give you another name that sometimes people use almost as a synonym for Pharisee. You ready for this one? Legalist. And when somebody uses that word, I kind of go, okay, tell me what you mean by that. Let's talk about it. I mean, if you're accurately saying here is somebody who is Pharisaical, here is somebody who is legalist as a Pharisee, then let's talk about what that means. Words have meanings, and I'm not saying that people aren't. Maybe as you describe this term a legalist, or maybe as you describe this term a Pharisee, there are Pharisees out there. And yes, we have had Pharisees within local churches. Of course we have. But the thing that I want you to know, don't use that term lightly. Do you know what one of the characteristics of Pharisees were? Now, I'm jumping ahead a little bit in my outline. Do you know one of the things the Pharisees did? Matthew 23:23. They neglected justice and mercy. And for you or I, from our lips, to talk about a brother and say he is a Pharisee, you and I better have the evidence and better have had the experience to say that. If not, what we're lacking, guess what we're lacking when we do that? We're lacking justice and mercy. I'll have to tell you, you call me a Pharisee. To me, in some cases, I see some people. Now, if I'm guilty of it, I want you to convict me. I want to tell you, it's not impossible, and certainly it's possible that I could go down the line of having Pharisaical attitudes. So any of us can. But what I'm talking about is lightly and quickly using that word. You know what you're doing? You're being a Pharisee in that. You are, in using the label. If you don't really know what you're talking about, it's kind of like a religious cuss word. Somebody's just mad at you and calling your name. You don't do that. And there are some people, and like I say, there are some people who talk about legalists and Pharisees. When I hear people using that a lot in their language, and they want to reform the church, and you look at the lives, and you look at those who have come under the influence of those who really use that language, I don't think I see Christ in that. I call this the Trojan horse approach, where there's somebody that says, yes, there's problems. There's problems in the church, and then their solution is worse than the problems. Be careful about those who are really big on talking about the Pharisees, just because they may identify wrong attitudes in the church doesn't mean they have the solutions. 2 Peter 2:19, the Bible says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, by whom a person is overcome, by him also he's brought into bondage. So let's get into our hearts this morning, brethren. Let's talk about the errors of the Pharisees. Okay. In the bulletin, I found an interesting picture that says, how to be a Pharisee. So, okay, let's talk about this morning. Okay. The 1, 2, 3, how to be a Pharisee. You want to be a Pharisee? Of course, we don't want to be that. So I'm saying that, just to maybe get our attention a little bit here. You want to be a Pharisee. What is the error of the Pharisees? You know what some people immediately say? They're too strict. Never do you see that. Never do you see that in Scripture. What you see in Scripture, though, is you see conditions of heart. In Matthew 23, beginning in verse 5, we've already read this in your hearing, part of this verse, but it says, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the border of their garments. They love the best places at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplace and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Jesus said in John 5:44, listen to this one. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? You know, you can get to the point, brethren, you and I, where we are so utterly focused on what others think of us. And we become the person that really, we want the compliments. And we're doing things so you may compliment me, or you may maybe look at me and say, oh, wonderful, what a wonderful person this is. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong in doing right. There's nothing wrong in doing right, and maybe others know about it. But I'm talking about motive. When we begin to do the things that we do, and we're putting a show on before men, we have become the center of our universe. And you know, by the way, interesting, you know about pride? You know who the people are quickly to point out pride in others and see it? And that oftentimes it's people who also have pride, because pride is competitive. And proud people, boy, once you're the center of the universe, let me tell you something. You'll cut anybody's throat. You'll do anything to get that praise. And in your heart of hearts, though, you know that is empty. You don't think about God. You want to see if you're teaching a Bible class how others are impressed with your knowledge, and God is out of it. I'm going to tell you, that doesn't do us any good. The Pharisees at one time just scoffed at another Pharisee believing in Jesus. In John 7 and verse 48, it says, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? Guess what? Some of them did, and some of them changed. Another thing about the Pharisees and that was blindness. When you become proud, in other words, you want to be exalted, you want to be something you're not, you want to be the center of the show, then you're going to be blind to so many things. What do you see, brethren? You and I, when we look into the mirror of God's Word, what do you see? I feel some pain. And every time I come before my God and realize His greatness, I realize how small I am. And I realize that, you know what, I'm not very smart. And I realize that the best thing that I can do is simply say, Lord, I need You. Lord, I need Your will. And Lord, it's not all about me. I want to tell you, it is easy for us as Christians to have some successes and suddenly let something that is good in its nature cause us to be filled up with pride. Pride is a real danger. And when you get caught up in pride, you become blind. You can't see yourself. You don't see what you're doing. Listen to some of the statements we've read and you're hearing some we haven't. Matthew 15:14, you're familiar with this verse. Jesus says, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Look at Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who swallow out a gnat, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside may be clean also. Let's talk a little bit about the Pharisees. Talk a little bit about them. Buddy, they wanted to fight immorality. They did not like Grecian influence. If you study the development of the Pharisees, you know there were some really tough times in Israel, where the Greeks took them over, and then you had that period between the Testaments where you had those wicked rulers, and even the temple was changed, and there was Greek culture and Greek influence, and there were Jews becoming Greeks with the morality that is involved with that, and there was a group within Israel that says, we've got to take a stand for morality. And they were right in taking that stand. They were saying, we've got to go back to the Bible. We've got to strictly follow Scriptures. We've got to separate ourselves from culture and learn the difference between God's Word and the compromise of culture. They were right in that. But you know what can happen when we take a right stand? Any of us. When we have correct knowledge. If somehow we let that knowledge and that struggle separate us from God, and we become a group where we begin to say, look at us, we fall down the path the Pharisees fell down. And let me tell you how blind they were. They crucified the Son of God. Do you know that while Jesus' trial was going on, they intentionally found false witnesses and they knew it was false? They took Jesus before them, and you know what they get convicted him of, or at least convicted, what they accused him of, what the case of why they said he ought to die? They said he blasphemed. And when they went to Pilate, do you know what they said that he was guilty of? They didn't bring up blasphemy. They said he was guilty of making himself a king. And guess what else? You know when they went to see Pilate, do you know what the Pharisees wouldn't do? Now get this. They're lying. They're murdering. They're violating God's law by having all kinds of trials at night. And so they go to Herod's palace. Get this. This is classic Phariseeism. I'm lying, cheating, and killing somebody, but I'm not going to go into Pilate's residence lest I become unclean for the Passover. And you go, don't you see what you're doing? You see, we can be guilty of that. When we become blind, yeah, we're going to attend the Lord's services. We're going to take the Lord's Supper, but we might lie asleep still and cheat out here in the background. But yes, I'm a faithful member of the church. I heard a funny story once. Hopefully it wasn't true. About a man who decided he wasn't going to be an elder. He says, you know, I'm addicted to alcohol and I tend to cuss some and I'm not exactly honest in my business dealings. He says, but I don't think I can be an elder. I'd just rather be a faithful, consecrated member of the church. You know, I go, oh no, you don't understand. No, that's not, you know, here, be a Christian. It's not just knowing rules. If you just have these rules and don't know heart in it, you can do this and then turn around and do something that shows you don't have a clue. We don't want to be a Pharisee, do we? We don't want to have that blindness. And let's pray that we'll learn how to fight the sin of pride. You know how proud people and blind people don't want you to tell them about their sins. The Pharisees couldn't stand it when Jesus rebuked them. And then finally, and I think we've already talked about this, but let's develop it. The other thing that you'd see about Pharisees is they were hypocrites. Jesus said so many times, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Brethren, there have been times I've been guilty of hypocrisy. And I think you have too. I don't want to live in it. You become a hypocrite when you wear a mask. And you know, why do you wear a mask? Well, you wear a mask because you want to fool others. Could I tell you something? When you put yourself before God, you know and I know that God sees everything. Appreciate Psalms 139 quoted today in the Lord's Supper. That's always a humbling verse. Lord, you know my thoughts before I think it. Lord, you know who I am. Hey, brethren, we can't fool God. Let's not fool each other. But in the religious world, you can have somebody getting up here and doing things and teaching and doing other things and having just a completely different life outside of services. This happens often. That's a temptation in college. I appreciate, again, the prayer that was led as we're trying to fight the works of the flesh. There are times, you know, you get caught in this snare and here you are, you're participating in the drinking and immorality and then you come here and you come, and I'm not saying that don't come here. But I'm saying that understand you got two different lives. You got one mask you're wearing here, and there's some issues you got to deal with your life. God is merciful. You don't have to wear a mask. But the Pharisees, you see, they couldn't admit the first sin. They had to have that public praise, and it enslaved them. And could I say one other thing, and I didn't quite put it in the outline, but I've included it here. You know a Pharisee oftentimes by how they look at the weaknesses of others. In Luke 18:9, this statement is made as Jesus, he's speaking of Jesus, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You're going to learn a lot about who you are by how you look at your brethren. I get worried sometimes when I see some Facebook posts and when I see people talking, and sometimes when I see them so laser focused, there were brethren who hurt me in my past. Okay, but Let's get over that. The Pharisees, when they saw weakness, they said, oh, look at that, a sinner. And I'm going to throw them away. I'm going to separate. I'm going to write them off. Now, brethren, we need to separate from sin. We do not need to endorse sin and say, oh, everybody does it, it's no big deal. But I'm talking about an attitude of blindness where, you know, you think you can live above sin. And you look down your nose at others. Guess what you do when you look down your nose at others and point out their sins? You're building up pride. Oh, look at me. I'm thankful I'm not like. And that's the parable. I'm thankful I'm not like this. And could I say those of you who may label others, I'm saying those of you, I don't know of that in our group, but of those of you who label others as legalists or Pharisees, you can end up being the same thing. I'm so thankful I'm not like the legalist who is so bound to the law. Da, 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 da. Be careful here. Satan is very deceptive. One of the things you do see about the Pharisees, might I add, is that they did not handle God's Word carefully. They really didn't. A lot of people say, well, yeah, the person who handles God's Word carefully discerns it. That's being pharisaical. No, 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 no. We've had some passages read in your ears, but look at Matthew 15 and verse 5. Here's one way they handle God's Word. He says, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you've made the command of God of no effect by your tradition. I'll tell you something, the Pharisees are very loose in Scripture. Seriously. And they don't want to talk to you about their errors. They wanted to come after you. But they would take a will of God and they would ignore it when it ended up to benefit them. Last section this morning. And let's draw some conclusions from it. First off, let's talk about wrong conclusions from the Pharisees. I think we've dealt with this. We'll deal with this a bit briefly. But, you know, sometimes you might be talking with somebody about the plan of salvation. You might be talking with somebody about really what local churches ought to be and do. And sometimes you just might be talking about right and wrong, tell the lie or not tell the lie, you know, being honest in business dealings. And then somebody will come up to you, why, you just are a Pharisee. You know, this church, and I think it's a right stand, you know what we do? We try to take the Word of God and only do those things that we have authority to do in our teaching and in our practice. And you know, if we don't have authority in our teaching or practice to do something, we do nothing. That's why we would not have instrumental music and why you won't necessarily see money taken from the first day of the week using social and recreational things. And that's a very odd thing. And sometimes people hear that, listen to those Pharisees. Well, no, what we're trying to do is honor God. When somebody is accurately handling the Word of God, that doesn't make one a Pharisee. I'm trying to do, as Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Like 1 Peter 4:11, it says, when I speak as the oracles of God, I'm glorifying God. So again, so many people say, if you tell me I'm wrong, you're a Pharisee. If you are more strict than I am, you're a Pharisee. If you handle God's Word carefully, you're a Pharisee. No, 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 no. Another thing. We live in a postmodern age. We live in an age where people say feelings, you know, predominate over facts. They may not quite put it that way, but what they mean by it. Some people say you can't draw conclusions. And there are those that become very offensive that if we make a conclusion about something that is not specifically named in the New Testament, we become a Pharisee. Now, Pharisees did draw some weird conclusions. I don't have all the documents from history, but it's fascinating. The Pharisees really came up with all kinds of rules that God didn't come up with. But could I tell you there is a place for conclusions in Scripture? What if I was to ask this question, is marijuana smoking a sin? Is it right or wrong? Now, can you find marijuana in the New Testament? Old Testament? No. But what I do is I deal with that, or maybe other issues of drug abuse, or other issues today. You know, does somebody manipulate a computer program in order to gain money? Is that a sin? Well, there weren't computers back in, you know, the New Testament times. What do you do? What you do is you take principles found in the New Testament and you draw conclusions about the current issues of the day. That's called discernment. Now, you can make wrong conclusions. Now, let me tell you something. A Pharisee would make a conclusion, and they would say, you don't dare question me because look at me, look at who I am. But a humble Christian will say, I've made this judgment, I've made this discernment, but let's talk about it. You know, I could tell you why I've come to this conclusion, and I'm standing on this, but you see, he's got an open heart. He's not trying to make rules where God made none. Jesus in Mark 12, we won't read the verse, pointed out how you can draw conclusions about simple verses, in this case about the resurrection, from a simple verse. And those conclusions are right to draw. And then one other thing that sometimes people say that is being a Pharisee is when you press your conclusions. You know, brethren, we as a local congregation, we try to help one another. And I want to tell you, I think you know from this pulpit and from our classes and I think from our individual relationships, I know we've got so many good Christians and we're trying to help one another, but you know one thing we do? We do press conclusions. I've come to the conclusions that the modern day social drink is that which leads to sin and is sin in many cases. I've drawn some conclusions already talked about marijuana and drug abuse. I've drawn some conclusions about ethics, dealing with business and dealing with school. And I'd be glad to talk to you about those. I'm not saying those today that you accept it because Larry said it. You know, I need to give you proof and reason and evidence. But there are things, there are dangers out there. Try to warn against attitudes religiously. We're talking about not being a Pharisee. I'm telling you, I'm going to reason and I'm going to show you things and I'm going to let you know about it. I'm going to press those conclusions. And you press your conclusions and let's study with an open heart and we can sharpen each other. That's not evil. Now, what's evil is when we become proud and we are not reasoning and we're looking down on others and we don't have the desire to be tested. Oh, yeah, I'm not very excited about hearing what I call a human tape recorder where they basically tell you this and you try to reason with them and poop, and there's no reason. Yeah, that's about like a Pharisee. Yes, that would be. We have internal struggles at times even within churches. In 1 Corinthians 11:19, as Paul talked about the improper observation of the Lord's Supper, which startlingly some people want to actually practice today. But in 1 Corinthians 11:19, here Paul says, for there must be factions among you that those who are approved may be recognized among you. You teach the truth. You look at these things. You take this stand. And there's going to be some people don't like it. And they're going to leave. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they may be manifest that none of them were of us. How do you know the right heart and one that's not a right heart? How do they handle Scripture? How do they handle the writings of the apostles? 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. One more section. One more point here. Sometimes there will be brethren that come up to me and say, well, Larry, we give this emphasis to doing the will of God and the law of God, but what about the exceptions that may come up that may cause us to do something that normally we wouldn't do? What do you mean, Larry? Well, let's look at the verse. Here are some verses that oftentimes are discussed when people talk about Phariseeism. And they're talking about strict or not being strict. Look at Matthew 12 and verse 1. At the time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. So let's stop right here. Here are the Pharisees walking through the field. They're taking some grains. They're harvesting it. They're eating it as they're walking through the fields. And the Pharisee says it's not lawful. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a proper debate. There was nothing wrong with the Pharisees saying, is that not lawful? But let me point out here, in the context, Jesus is going to point out to him, you're not understanding the law. This was lawful. And so the Pharisee says it was not lawful. The Pharisees are wrong about this. Now notice what Jesus does. He appeals to Scripture. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those that were with him? How he entered the house of God and the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law on the Sabbath, the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yes, I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. Now let's talk of them at the very end here. These men had not violated the law. They had not. And you would say, well, here Jesus said, he talked about an occasion where this was which was not lawful for him to do. What we're talking about here is exceptions. Biblical, legitimate exceptions where sin is not committed. No, you don't go take your neighbor's grain and take it to yourself as far as stealing it. But there was a place where you could walk through a field in the law where you could do exactly what Jesus did. It's like the priest working in the temple. They're working on the Sabbath. Here the temple, people go into the temple on the Sabbath and the priests are doing work. It's not a sin because there was an exception here where generally you don't do work on the Sabbath. But here's what God said to do on the Sabbath. It's not a contradiction. Again, we could spend a lot more time with this. But there's some people look at a verse like this, see here, when you're trying to say you got to do something lawfully, you don't have to do it. If you emphasize that, you're a Pharisee. No, you missed the point. They did not discern Scriptures correctly. Here's another one. Look at this one. Matthew 12:11. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will lay hold of it and lift it out? Or how much more value is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees had a position that if an ox fell into the ditch, they're going, oh, it's a Sabbath. You can't do work on the Sabbath. In order to get the ox out of the ditch, you got to do work, so you got to leave it there. And Jesus says, you've missed the point. Let's say if I was driving to church today, got a Bible class to teach. I got a sermon to preach. But let's say I'm driving down the road and there's a terrible accident. There's some people thrown out of their car. And there's some people that need help and they need help right now. You know what I'm going to do? I would probably make a call and tell people, hey guys, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. Now, we've got that privilege with cell phones today. But I'm going to go out and I'm going to try to help that person. Did Larry forsake the assembly because as he was going on his way to the assembly, he went and helped somebody? I don't think I did. What I'm talking about here, are you listening to me? I'm talking about an exception. And you know what some of my brethren do? They're saying because it's an exception that the rule is eliminated. You know what some of my brethren do? They say, well, look, if you get the ox in the ditch, why don't we do this? Let's push the ox in the ditch, and let's keep the ox in the ditch, and let's keep doing this, which is contrary to law, because we got the ox in the ditch. And I can explain what that means later. But sometimes brethren want to use these verses as a loophole from obedience. That misses the point. Conclusion. Pharisees. Knowledge, brethren, I'll tell you, 1 Corinthians 8 is not in the outline, but the danger, knowledge can puff up, can create pride. Knowledge, when we are separated from God and the love of God, creates some terrible people. I will tell you, I'm sorry to say this, worst treatments I've ever received in this life has come from those within the church. There can be those that have religious knowledge and they can become very angry and they can become very unjust. And I'll tell you what, you look, who killed Jesus? It was the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders. I'll tell you, you can become a monster if you take God's law and you look at that and you separate yourself from God. You can deal people. You live in the land of what I call throwaway people. You'll throw away people away. The Pharisees, could you imagine on one occasion where they caught that woman in adultery and rather than having some sense of mercy or justice, they take her as a prop to put her before Jesus to see what he would do. They did not care for that woman one bit. And may the Lord help us never to be that kind of hard-hearted people. Look, they are sinners. And you're ready to throw them away. Oh, may the Lord help us never to go down that path. But here are some warnings I want to give you. There are some today when they talk about the Pharisees, they have some really serious issues in their hearts. There are some people that they're like the Pharisees. You don't question my position. There are some people that make this statement, anything that is external is unspiritual. Oh, we emphasize the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We emphasize on only doing it as the Lord said. Oh, that's pharisaical. No. The Lord talked about externals. If He talks about externals, I'm going to follow externals. There are some physical things we do, but we're connected to God. There are those, when you talk about moral issues, as I suggested, social drinking, immodesty, adultery. You know, I've seen churches where they want to be non-traditional. They want to go out here and they want to no longer look at the regulations for the assembly. They no longer want to look about regulations about fellowship, the plan of salvation. And it's fascinating when you start having this attitude, yeah, the rules, externals doesn't matter to me. Guess what eventually happens? The internals get wrong. If you can ignore God on an external, you'll oftentimes see all kinds of immorality come into the lives of those that they would dare not be a Pharisee. That's blindness. And then again, over the years, I've mentioned this in the pulpit. You know who I've received some of the worst treatment from? From the people who say, yes, don't be a Pharisee, and they attack the Pharisees, and they talk about the grace of God and the love of God, and they talk about it as if nobody else gets it. I've seen some of those people be some of the most vicious, hurtful people that I know. What I'm talking about here, don't be a hypocrite. You can hate the Pharisees and get this, and in fact, be a Pharisee. Sometimes I talk about, if it's a matter of position, somebody wants to be more liberal versus maybe what appears to be, if that's the case, more conservative than Pharisee. You might run from being a Pharisee and become a Sadducee. Guess what? Jesus condemned all three. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. Watch your heart. I hope this lesson hasn't been too hard on us. We don't want to be a Pharisee. Let's talk about what we can be. We can be a people who've been bought by the blood of Christ. We can be a people of who James 2:13 talks about. We can be a people of mercy. We can be a people who has understood that the reason why we are anything is because of our God and the sacrifice of His Son and the beautiful faith that He's given us that has built us up and led us. We need to be a people not afraid to study, not afraid to change, merciful to others. I like how it's put in Acts 17:11, a good heart, a fair-minded person. A just and merciful person. In Acts 17:11, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. You've heard me preach a few lessons. I used this material in East Columbus just yesterday. Don't lose your heart. Don't get bitterness, don't let pride, don't become dishonest. A tender heart is going to be tender and merciful to others, is going to be one that grabs God's Word and applies it. It's going to create a beautiful fruit, matter of fact, fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, that self-control. The Pharisees lost their hearts. Brethren, pray today, the conclusion of draw. You and I, let's have a tender heart. Let's love God's Word. Let's never forget the first off see where we stand before God and be humbled by that. And being humbled and forgiven, then we can help somebody of their faults because we look at that, you know what, I understand. You know what, we're in the same boat. You and what, I want to tell you about my Savior who is so gracious and merciful to me. I pray that we'll always be that kind of people. And that's a challenge. Let's get our song books open now. If you've not yet become a Christian, we want to extend that invitation. An invitation to be born again. It's interesting, some of the Pharisees did believe in Jesus. And you had Nicodemus that came to Jesus. And, you know, here he was, likely on the Sanhedrin, likely a Pharisee. And he didn't know, you know, he didn't know what being born again was. And Jesus said in John 3:3-5, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus struggled with that. You want to come to God? You got to be nuked. You got to let your will be destroyed. And it's a beautiful thing to see your sin and to see, you know, the enormity of your weaknesses and just simply to turn to God. Say, Lord, I'm simply going to turn to you. Be born again. Be born anew. Let me tell you the details of being born of water and the Spirit. You see in Scripture that when one believes in Jesus, they are to repent of sins and they are to be baptized in water, raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4 other verses. Don't fear the Pharisees. You and I, let's keep our eyes on God. Let our praise come from God. And I don't know why God loves me, but I know that He loves me. I don't know why He gives me salvation, but He gives it to me. And that's the stand I'm going to take. I'm simply going to put my hand in God's hand. And may He help us all to take those first steps and then to live for Him. If you need to respond in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?